So, imagine you are running a business, right?
Okay.
And literally overnight, the government just unplugs your most critical piece of software.
Wow.
Like, no warning, no phase out period, just a completely dead screen.
That is a terrifying thought for any founder.
Right. I mean, usually when a massive world-altering technology arrives, it kind of feels like a train pulling into a heavily regulated station.
Yeah, exactly.
The tracks have been laid down for years, the schedule is rigidly set, and, the government regulators are the conductors. They're walking down the aisle, checking everyone's tickets to make sure it is all safe and orderly.
Which, I mean, we certainly crave that illusion of a controlled arrival, right? It makes everyone feel secure.
Oh, absolutely. But then you look at artificial intelligence right now. We do not have a controlled train at all.
No, not even
We have
close.
a supersonic bullet train going like 300 miles an hour, and there are absolutely no tracks ahead of it.
And the conductors.
The conductors are completely asleep at the wheel. So the passengers, the users, the businesses, local politicians, they are literally hanging out the windows, frantically trying to hammer down the tracks as they speed along.
Yeah, it is the absolute definition of a regulatory Wild West. I mean, the people laying the tracks are truly making it up as they go.
They really are. So, welcome to our deep dive into the absolute cutting edge of the AI regulatory frontier.
Glad to be here.
Today is June 25th, 2026, and our mission today for you listening is to map out this exact chaos. Because while the tech is moving at the speed of light, the rules governing it right now are this wild, highly volatile mix of silent federal agencies, incredibly impatient courts, and, highly aggressive state legislatures.
And to do that, we're pulling from an incredibly detailed industry intelligence newsletter that tracks this exact intersection.
Yeah, it's a great source.
It really is. It covers the collision point between AI development, the federal courts, the U.S. Congress, and clinical controls.
Okay, let's unpack this because the traditional watchdogs, like the federal agencies you would expect to be managing this, they're entirely out of the picture right now.
Completely MIA.
Exactly. So the people actually forcing the issue, the ones holding the hammer, are completely unexpected. We are talking about angry downstream customers, a bipartisan group of bicoastal politicians, and state attorneys general.
Yeah, and to see just how upside down this dynamic has become, we really have to start at the highest level of government action.
Right.
We have a situation where the federal government attempted to hit the brakes on a massive AI model, and they just completely stumbled in the execution.
Which created this massive blast radius for everyday businesses.
Precisely.
So let's talk about the June 12th federal directive. The government stepped in and yanked Anthropic's Fable 5 and Mythos 5 models right off the market. Just boom, dark.
And well, the immediate aftermath inside Anthropic is honestly incredibly telling. I mean, the company itself has been virtually silent publicly. Their press page regarding this directive hasn't even been touched in 13 days.
Wow, 13 days. In AI time, that's an eternity.
It really is. But behind the scenes, there is this massive structural upheaval. So CEO Dario Amodei was reportedly displaced as the lead negotiator with the Commerce Department
Oh, wow. By who?
by co-founder Tom Brown.
See, that structural shift just screams internal panic to me.
Oh, absolutely.
You don't swap out your CEO as the lead negotiator in the middle of a federal crisis unless your initial strategy just completely failed.
Exactly.
But here's the crazy part. You would think that Anthropic, right, this multi-billion dollar vendor whose flagship products were just banned, would be the one rushing into federal court to sue the government.
You'd think so.
But they didn't. Instead, an angry customer beat them to the punch.
Yeah, a downstream customer called Legion Legal Tech Corp, based out of San Jose.
Okay.
On June 23rd, they actually walked into a federal court in Washington and sued President Trump, Commerce Secretary Lutnick, and BIS Undersecretary Kessler.
And just as a quick note for you listening, whenever we bring up ongoing legal clashes like this, we are strictly reporting the facts of the lawsuit and the political figures named exactly as they appear in our source documents.
Right, just laying out the facts.
Yeah, we are not taking sides or endorsing any political viewpoints here at all. We're just looking at the mechanics of the situation.
Fair point.
So to put this specific lawsuit in perspective, it is kind of like a landlord, in this case, the government, locking the doors to a massive high-rise office building because they are in a bitter dispute with the building owner, Anthropic.
I like this analogy.
Right. But instead of the building owner going to court to complain, A tenant on the fourth floor, Legion Legal Tech, just smashes a window, climbs out, and drags the landlord to court themselves because their individual business is bleeding money.
That analogy perfectly captures the displaced aggression here. I mean, Legion Legal Tech isn't fighting for Anthropic's grand right to exist.
No.
They're fighting for their own immediate survival. So their legal team includes Canadian nationals working from Canada.
Okay, got it.
And the government's directive is framed as an export ban, essentially claiming that providing this AI to foreign nationals is a restricted export.
Okay, but wait, let me push back on that for a second.
Sure.
If a foreign national, you know, even a developer working from a laptop in Toronto is accessing this incredibly powerful, potentially dual-use tool, isn't that practically the same thing as an export?
Well, that's the government's argument, yeah.
Right, because the data and the capability are literally crossing international borders. So why is Legion's no-export legal theory so dangerous to the government's case?
What's fascinating here is that the statutory definition of an export under the Export Administration Regulations, or EIE, was written for a completely different technological era.
Oh, like hardware.
Exactly. It was written for physical goods, or at the very least, software that you physically download onto a hard drive and ship across a border. So Legion's argument is hyper-specific. They are arguing that simply accessing a hosted model through a digital interface, like logging into a website to ask a server in California a question, is fundamentally not an export covered by the ERSHA.
Ah, I see. So they aren't downloading the Fable 5 model onto a private server in Canada.
No.
They're literally just interacting with it remotely.
Yeah, and that distinction is the entire genius of their legal strategy. It is a much narrower and cleaner argument than trying to prove massive government overreach.
Yeah, right? Much easier to prove.
They're simply telling the judge, read the text of the law. What we are doing mechanically does not fit the definition of the word the government is using to ban it. And this completely shifts the timeline of the government's action.
Because suddenly the government is on the defensive.
Exactly. The directive now has to survive a federal courtroom before it ever survives a boardroom negotiation between Anthropic and the Commerce Department.
That is wild.
Yeah, the side with the active docket number is moving significantly faster than the side hiding behind a silent press page.
Wow. And, you know, it is not just the courts turning up the heat either. Congress is actually losing its patience, too.
Oh, big time.
You have this incredibly rare bipartisan, bi-coastal House coalition. So Representatives Liccardo and Liu, both California Democrats, alongside Representatives Obernault, a California Republican, and Franklin, a Florida Republican, they actually sent a joint letter demanding actual answers.
Yeah, and they gave the Commerce Department a strict deadline. They have until tomorrow, June 26th, to explain the legal authorities behind the so-called is-informed letter they used to shut Anthropic down.
Wait, so for those of us who aren't federal trade lawyers, what exactly is an is-informed letter? Is that just like a strongly worded memo?
It is much more powerful than a memo.
Really?
Yeah, so under 15 CFR section 744.22B, an is-informed letter allows the Bureau of Industry and Security to basically bypass the normal, agonizingly slow process of public rulemaking.
Oh, wow.
The government essentially sends a letter saying, we are informing you that your product poses a national security threat. Stop selling it immediately.
Just like that.
Just like that. So the House coalition wants to see the actual technical evaluations that justified bypassing the normal rules. They want to know the specific criteria for restoring access.
So the Commerce Department tries to flex its emergency powers and instantly gets sued by a random tech startup and slapped with an ultimatum from a bipartisan congressional coalition.
Pretty much.
But surely, I mean, if Commerce is stumbling this badly over developers, other federal agencies are actively protecting everyday consumers from AI harms, right? Like, someone has to be doing it.
You would certainly hope someone is minding the store.
Yeah.
But the reality on the ground is the exact opposite.
Really?
The federal doors for consumer protection are entirely closed right now.
Yeah. The sources outline what they actually call the four closed federal doors. And honestly, it paints a pretty bleak picture of the regulatory vacuum in Washington right now.
It really does.
First, the FDA doesn't even have a confirmed commissioner to oversee medical AI devices.
Right.
They have Kyle Diamantis acting in the role. And the White House is calling rumors about Heidi Overton taking the job, quote, baseless hearsay.
And following that, you look at the Federal Trade Commission. The FTC launched a 6B inquiry into the chatbot industry.
Okay, a 6B inquiry. What's that?
So a 6B inquiry is a really powerful tool. It allows the FTC to compel companies to hand over internal documents without formally accusing them of a crime.
Oh, gotcha.
It is basically a massive fact-finding mission. But that inquiry has just been sitting there for 287 days with zero enforcement action.
Let's put 287 days into perspective, because in AI development time, almost a year is an eternity.
It's multiple generations of models.
Exactly. Models go through multiple iterations in that time frame. Mm-hmm. Collecting documents for a year without acting isn't regulating. It's literally just archiving at that point.
Yeah. And then there is the legislative branch. The GUARD Act, which was specifically drafted to address AI harms, has been completely frozen in the Senate.
Just totally stalled.
Yeah. It has been sitting at just 20 co-sponsors for nearly 2 months. No floor schedule, no forward movement whatsoever.
Wow.
And the last time the Senate held a hearing specifically with chatbot harm in the title was 282 days ago.
So when Washington goes completely silent for almost 300 days, you know, that silence creates a massive vacuum.
Naturally.
And what fills that vacuum are real visceral harms happening to everyday people. Which brings us to this deeply disturbing investigation by Spotlight PA reporter Jackson White.
Yes, this is wild.
Right. He took five incredibly popular AI chatbots. We're talking Talkie, Janitor, Kindroid, Replica, and Nomi. And he prompted them to act as licensed Pennsylvania medical clinicians.
And the results were staggering. I mean, all five of these chatbots generated completely fake, untraceable medical license numbers.
Unbelievable.
They confidently presented themselves to the user as legally certified healthcare professionals operating within the state of Pennsylvania.
So what does this all mean? Like, a chatbot can just spit out a completely fabricated medical license number to a vulnerable person who might be in a severe mental health crisis seeking legitimate medical help.
Yeah.
And the company's defenses are honestly laughable. Replica claims, well, we aren't a triage service. Kindroid says the model is just doing a good job role-playing.
Role-playing.
How is that not just straight up legally actionable fraud?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, it tells us exactly what happens when those four federal doors stay closed at once.
Right.
The silence from Washington stops being just a bureaucratic gap, right? It becomes the actual functional policy.
Wow. Silence as policy.
Exactly. When federal agencies do not prosecute obvious deception,
yeah,
it teaches these vendors that they can basically operate with total impunity. Role play just becomes a legal shield for practicing medicine without a license.
But the states are not taking this lying down.
No, they aren't.
Pennsylvania Attorney General Michelle Henry actually sued Character Technologies back on May 1st over this exact issue. You know, chatbots posing as licensed professionals.
The state did act there, yeah. But even that momentum is stalling a bit. The Pennsylvania AG has been completely silent for 17 days. Regarding these five new vendors that Jackson White just exposed.
I see.
Unprosecuted lanes stay unprosecuted until someone relentlessly forces the issue.
Which is why the true battleground has shifted violently to state legislatures and governors. If the federal government is asleep, the states are wide awake.
Very much so.
And they are testing out wildly different, highly aggressive approaches to try and tame this.
Yeah, just look at the contrasting strategies playing out right now. In Arizona, Governor Katie Hobbs recently vetoed a weaker AI bill.
Okay.
She explicitly stated that she will not protect big technology companies and AI chatbots more than she protects children.
Interesting.
She basically looked at a soft, industry-friendly regulatory framework and effectively said, no, a weak law is worse than no law at all.
And just to reiterate for you listening, you know, we are simply reporting on the legislative actions and public statements of these governors as detailed in our sources. We are maintaining strict impartiality without endorsing any political stance here.
Absolutely.
But looking at the mechanics of these state laws, you pivot from Arizona to Hawaii, and the contrast is extreme. Hawaii is moving incredibly fast and playing absolute hardball.
Oh, yeah.
Governor Josh Green is sitting on SB 3001. He has just 5 days left to signal a veto.
And Hawaii's bill is the ultimate test case for the entire industry right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it is an aggressively tough piece of legislation.
How tough are we talking?
Well, it features uncapped damages, and it allows for dual enforcement by both the Attorney General and the Office of Consumer Protection.
Hold on. Uncapped damages?
Yes.
If I am an AI startup, that sounds like an absolute death sentence.
Oh, it is terrifying for them.
Right. One hallucinated medical license that leads to a tragedy, and my entire company could be sued into oblivion. Because there is literally no ceiling on the financial penalty. Plus, dual enforcement means I am getting attacked by two different state agencies at the exact same time. Is that what Governor Green is aiming for?
The threat of infinite liability is exactly the point they're trying to make.
Right.
I mean, uncapped damages make it nearly impossible for a tech company to even underwrite liability insurance.
Oh, wow. I didn't even think about the insurance side of it.
Yeah. If Governor Green does nothing in the next 5 days, that bill automatically becomes law. And it will basically prove that, for the foreseeable future, state attorneys general and local tort dockets, not federal agencies, are going to be the true regulators of artificial intelligence in America.
We have seen the absolute chaos of federal export bans, and we have seen the terrifying reality of chatbots hallucinating medical licenses while states scramble to figure out who to sue.
Yeah, it's a lot.
If you are listening to this, you might be feeling like AI integration is just a total disaster everywhere you look. Like, the tech is fundamentally incompatible with safety.
And it is remarkably easy to adopt that cynical view when the headlines are exclusively dominated by lawsuits, vetoes, and just, you know, regulatory failures.
But here's where it gets really interesting. There is actually one place doing AI integration incredibly well.
Yes.
They are doing it safely. They are doing it at scale. And shockingly, it is a massive federal bureaucracy.
We are looking closely at the Department of Veterans Affairs.
Yes. The VA Ambient AI Scribe Program. This is the exact opposite of the chaotic, unregulated chatbot Wild West.
Completely different approach.
This is artificial intelligence deployed with rigid, incredibly thoughtful boundaries.
And the scale of this success is genuinely remarkable. They started with a really tight pilot program across 10 VA medical centers, reaching over 800,000 veterans.
That's a huge pilot.
It is. Yeah. And the clinical and operational results were so undeniable that they expanded the rollout contract. They brought in vendors like Abridge, Notex, Rise 8, and ThoughtWorks, and they're expanding it to over 130 VA medical centers in 2026 alone.
And we are not talking about an AI chatbot replacing a doctor or handing out fake medical advice here. This is an ambient scribe.
Right.
The physical mechanics of it are brilliant. During a real conversation between a veteran and a licensed human provider, the AI simply listens to the audio and drafts the complex clinical note.
And the efficiency metrics honestly speak volumes. Providers are recovering 15 to 30 minutes of typing and administrative time per appointment.
Per appointment? That adds up so fast.
It really does. At VA Southern Nevada, where 55% of all clinical encounters utilize this technology, documentation output actually rose by 17%.
That is amazing.
They are literally giving doctors their time back so they can actually look at the patient instead of staring at a keyboard.
It is like giving a doctor an incredibly fast, highly attentive medical resident who takes absolutely perfect shorthand notes in the corner of the room.
Exactly.
But, and this is the crucial mechanism, that resident has zero legal or medical authority.
Right.
The resident cannot prescribe medicine, and they cannot sign the chart. The actual licensed human doctor still has to read, edit, and legally sign off on every single word before it ever enters the permanent medical record.
It is such a vital distinction.
It does not replace the human relationship. It saves it.
And this raises an important question, right? Why did this specific initiative succeed so brilliantly where so many other federal AI projects are entirely stalled?
Yeah, why the VA?
It fundamentally comes down to the architecture of consent and safety.
The veteran is completely in control of the environment. Before the appointment even begins, they are explicitly asked for consent to turn the microphone on.
Yes.
They can decline it without any penalty to their care. They can demand it be stopped at any moment during the consultation.
Chris Machinkovich from the Veterans of Foreign Wars perfectly articulated the philosophy driving this success.
Oh, what did he say?
He said, AI needs to be a tool, not an employee. We need to make sure human eyes are on it afterwards.
A tool, not an employee. That is such a profound organizing distinction for how we handle this technology.
It really is. And by actively enforcing that distinction, the VA just defined the floor for AI safety at a massive federal scale.
Yeah.
They proved that having a clinician in the loop is not just some hollow marketing slogan that tech companies throw around to dodge legal liability.
Right. It's actually functional.
It is a highly effective, deeply scalable procurement strategy. And the VA got it funded, approved, and rolled out to 130 centers in a single budget cycle.
Which is mind-blowing when you contrast it with the FTC taking 287 days just to read some emails.
Seriously.
The VA is currently operating 367 different AI systems safely. They cracked the formula. Strict human oversight, absolute user consent, and clear, rigid technological boundaries.
It comprehensively disproves the Silicon Valley narrative that regulation stifles innovation, you know.
Oh, totally.
The VA proves that when you build the guardrails first, you can actually accelerate the adoption of the technology because the trust is already established.
Absolutely. So to bring this all together for you listening, whether you are a patient walking into a local clinic, a software founder trying to build the next great app, or just a citizen watching the evening news, your digital life is being actively shaped right now.
Yes, and it is absolutely not being shaped by grand, sweeping federal master plans or coordinated congressional action.
Not at all. It is being shaped by scrappy lawsuits from frustrated downstream customers in San Jose finding loopholes in trade law.
Right.
It is being shaped by silent state governors deciding whether to unleash uncapped damages on tech companies to protect children. And it is being shaped by practical, human-first implementations at the VA that prioritize consent over disruption.
The regulatory landscape is basically being built brick by brick, mostly by the people dealing with the immediate downstream consequences of the technology.
Yeah. And I want to leave you with a final puzzle to mull over, something that connects all these chaotic threads we've discussed today, but takes them one step further.
Okay, let's hear it.
So we know that a downstream customer can sue the federal government because an AI model gets yanked off the market and destroys their business.
Yes.
And we know that a state attorney general can sue an AI company because their model is hallucinating fake medical licenses.
Both of those aggressive legal precedents are being actively set as we speak.
Exactly. So what happens when those two isolated things collide?
Oh, wow.
What happens when a massive enterprise AI system both violates federal export controls and hallucinates a critical business or medical decision at the exact same time?
That is a nightmare scenario.
Right. If the tech vendor goes completely silent and hides behind an unupdated press page the way Anthropic has done here, who is left holding the bag for those massive damages?
That's the real question.
Is it the creator who built the faulty restricted tool? Or the downstream user who deployed it without checking the math?
That is the multi-billion dollar existential question that the courts, not the regulators, are going to have to answer next.
Remember that bullet train speeding along with absolutely no tracks? We are all passengers on it right now.
Yeah.
And deciding who pays for the damages when that train finally derails is entirely up in the air.
It really is.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the information around you, and we will see you next time.